In front of Gucci in the winter, I seen you with your girls walking, in your chinchilla fur. I was laid up in the cool back shader, looking at your face just pure with no makeup. A little bit of MAC lip gloss, hair in a bun well done. Looking for a ring, I seen none, so I hopped out the coupe and hot the suit to stop and introduce like I'm shining. You my destiny, in your diamond cluster, too much just to touch you.
This is Robin, the program manager at CITR 101.9 FM. You're listening to Astro Talk with Marco, the best astronomy program on the planet.
Put it in your purse and call.
On the telephone, she heard my voice. Tell me to pick her up in my Rolls Royce. If my Rolls Royce is not for ladies, then girl, I'm gonna take you in my Mercedes. If my Mercedes would have full up a disease. In my Firebird, if my Firebird cannot pass the curve, girl, put your ass on the dumb at your butt.
You're getting closer. My player days is over. Well, maybe not completely, but still in all. Come here, let's see your head on my bed. And let me get between your legs. Lay on your back. Take it from the back. Like a bag you're supposed to.
I know you like that. This is Marco and Astro Talk. Late again because we have wonderful bus system. Anyway, welcome to the show. And, what are we talking about today? I always talk about different kind of topics that are like way out far galaxies or some explosion, billions and millions of light years away or 710 light years away or something really far away. So I thought today, why not talk about something that's much closer, like the International Space Station. So let's talk about the International Space Station. There's a lot of research going on there and stuff we don't even know about, of course. And they're probably testing long-term how people react to being in space for a long time. And here's an article. Crew researches mold, rodents, and stem cells at cargo as cargo ship chases station. That's an interesting one. How about this one? Technology research on station breeds life into life support. There's another one. NASA brings the International Space Experience to Rose City. And Rose City is Portland. But I'm going to start first by this one. It's dated June 15th, 2017. So I believe that's today because 13 was Tuesday, that bad luck number. So I'm going to talk today about the International Space Station. The first topic, investigation test drugs to activate immune system, help fight cancer. So they're doing a lot of different stuff on space station. And here's a little image, and I'm going to read the caption below the image. Shows something like maybe test tubes, and it says the cancer cells in these test tubes within the six-well biocell will be cultured and created by BioServe Space Technology. I don't know what that means, but anyway, I'll start reading the article. On Earth, research into antibody drug conjugates to treat cancer has been around a while. The research presents a problem, though, because Earth-based laboratories aren't able to mimic the shape of the cancer cell within the body, which can sometimes produce incorrect findings. The International Space Station's unique microgravity environment allows scientists to approach the research from a new 3D angle. So from now on, when I talk about the space station, I'll say ISS, which stands for International Space Station, or just the station, to make it a bit short. Okay, back to the article. The efficacy and metabolism of azonified antibody drug conjugates, or ADCs, in microgravity investigation seeks to activate immunogenic cell death within the cancer cells, which should kill the cancer and prevent the disease from reoccurring in the future. The experiment explores a new drug and antibody combination that may increase the effectiveness of the treatment and decrease secondary side effects associated with chemotherapy. So says Louise Zia, research associate for BioServe Space Technologies, and quote, in space, you can grow larger and larger cancer tumors, spherical in shape, so you have a better model of what's happening in the human body. So it seems like here, when we're on Earth in a gravity environment, it the cancer cells aren't spherical, so when they are, you can study them better. Back to the article. And I'm continuing the quote. The chances of having false negatives or false positives is decreased, end quote. Knowing how drug combinations work in microgravity is increasingly important as we plan for future deep space missions where we may need to be able to treat disease such as cancer. So I'm going away from the article now, and maybe 10, 20 years ago, I thought we'd already be on Mars and we'd be maybe living on the moon or having a space station, a permanent space station built outside in circle our planet, but we're not. So all this research will help us not only on Earth, but maybe in the future when we do eventually live in places other than the Earth. Now there's another quote from Louise Zia, Research Associate for BioServe Space Technologies, and quote, "We don't know if the cells will be metabolizing the drug at the same rate as they do on Earth. In the long term, we need to be sure what drugs are going to work," end quote. To treat cancer currently, chemotherapy works by orally and intravenously injecting the patient with a drug to attack and kill cancer cells. Unfortunately, this untargeted approach also kills healthy cells. The ADCs, which are azonified antibody drug conjugates, that's easy for me to say. The ADC's investigation is a combination of two molecules, a cancer-killing azonified drug and an antibody, which enable a targeted approach for cancer treatment by allowing the drug to kill cancer cells while leaving the healthy cells intact. I thought they had that at UBC, where they have, in association with Triumph, they create particles that last less than a second, and they shoot them into the body, and when they decay, they kill the cells that need to be killed and don't kill the cells that are healthy. Okay, they're talking about chemotherapy. Okay, now back to the article. The ADC's investigation is, I already read that. Now says another person named Daval Shah, a co-investigator, and quote, "One of the reasons cancer cells grow in certain individuals is their defense mechanism fails to recognize them. This molecule also has the ability to wake up or release the brake on existing immune cells within the cancer. In any given tumor, when these molecules are released from the cancer cell, they wake up the surrounding immune cells and stimulate the body's own immune system, making it recognize and kill the cancer cells itself," end quote. Cancer patients receiving chemotherapy often experience side effects such as nausea, fatigue, hair loss, cognitive impairment, and more during the course of treatment. Although this combination may decrease many of the negative side effects of chemotherapy, it may also have its own side effects, though potentially less severe and short-lived. So it seems that they're trying to replicate what Triumph is doing, where they kill the cancer cells and try to spare the healthy cells. And another quote by Zia, by Luis Zia, end quote, "The antibody is a connector block. On one side, it will only bind to the drug, and the other side may only bind to cancer cells and not healthy cells. So by combining these two, the idea is to decrease the nasty side effects of chemotherapy." For information about other science happening aboard the laboratory, follow ISS, that's capital I, capital S, capital S, _ research. So I suppose there are so many things that if we took time to find out about what's happening on the space station, maybe we would be amazed. Okay, so I'm going to go to a break, and when we come back, I'm going to talk more about the International Space Station. This is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.
The hardcore stuff is just is fast, very aggressive and loud, music, angry music.
Well,
I am your host, Mr. Steeston Mike. Welcome to the Flex Your Head Show on CITR 101.9 FM here in Vancouver. I'm here every Tuesday.
6 to 8 p.m.
Playing some punk and hardcore for you. If you want to hear something, feel free to give me a call at 604-822-2487 or swing by flexyourhead.net and send us an email with a request.
Marco on Astro Talk on CITR 101.9 FM.
Welcome back. This is Marco on Astro Talk, and thank you for that Fat Joe. That was Fat Joe singing on that break. So, we're back for the International Space Station, and let's look at this one. It says, crew, researchers, mold, rodents, and stem cells as cargo ship chases station. So they're researching mold in outer space, they're researching rodents, and they're researching stem cells. Let's see what they found. There's a picture of an astronaut, Jack Fisher, checks out science gear inside Japan's Kobe Laboratory inside our International Space Station. I guess we should say International Space Station because it belongs to the world. Oh, you know what? I was wrong. This is Russia's Progress 67 cargo craft. Okay, I'm going to start to read the article. Russia's Progress 67, and in brackets 67P cargo craft, is orbiting the Earth and on its way to the International Space Station Friday morning, carrying over 3 tons of food, fuel, and supply. So let's see what date this article is. It doesn't leave a date, so I'm not sure when this happened. Meanwhile, the 3-member expedition, 52 crew, researched a variety of space science on Thursday while preparing for arrival of the 67P. Commander Fyodor Yurchichin and flight engineer Jack Fisher will monitor the automated docking of the 67P to the Zvezda service module Friday at 7:42 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. NASA TV will broadcast the NASA TV will broadcast live the resupply ship's approach and rendezvous beginning at 7 a.m. The 67P's docking will mark 4 spaceships attached to the space station. Okay, so you remember there was a comet called 67P a couple years ago. So now they've called this spacecraft 67P, maybe after the comet. Okay, anyway, Fisher spent the morning photographing mold and bacteria supplies on Petri dish as part of a 6-student-led biology experiments that are taking place inside a NanoRex module. Yes, that's what I do every Saturday morning. I get mold and I examine it and take pictures of it every Saturday morning. I can't wait till a few days. In the afternoon, he removed protein crystal samples from a science freezer, let them thaw, and observed the samples using a specialized microscope. Flight engineer Peggy Whitson tended to rodents Thursday morning, cleaning their habitat facilities and restocking their food. She tended to the rodents. I wonder what research. They don't say which research they're doing on the rodents. In the afternoon, she moved to human research, swapping out cells samples for the cardiac stem cell study that is expanding while living in space may accelerate the aging process. Now, isn't that interesting? Living in space may accelerate the aging process. Okay, this was a short article, so I'm going to go on to another one. It's called Plants to Feed This and Other Worlds. There's a photo, and here it says, the caption beneath the photo, and quote, NASA astronaut Steve Swanson harvests red romaine lettuce on the space station, the first fresh produce grown and eaten in space. The veggie project, which is ongoing, uses Florican's controlled-release fertilizer to nourish the growing plants. So isn't that interesting? They're growing stuff in the International Space Station for future space missions, I would guess. Okay, I'm going to read the article. Here goes. Astronaut ice cream may be an exotic treat for kids, but for real space explorers, a fresh, crunchy salad could sometimes really hit the spot. And the ability to grow food in space will prove crucial for longer duration voyages envisioned over the next few decades. Growing plants in a spaceship and one day on another planet is a complicated endeavor. But one tool making it easier is a specially formulated fertilizer developed years ago with NASA help, which has also drawn huge accolades from growers on Earth. The fertilizer, created by Sarasota, Florida-based company Florican, that's F-L-O-R-I-K-A-N, is coated in polymers that control when and how much of each ingredient is released over 6 months to a year. And here's a quote from Gioia Massa, a science team leader for the NASA Veggie Project at Kennedy Space Center, end quote. Having the ability to add a control-release fertilizer, which adds the right amount of nutrients over time, without any mixing or any chemicals that you have to measure out, makes it much simpler, end quote. The team's first major success, red romaine lettuce cultivated on the International Space Station in 2015, was the first produce ever grown and eaten in space. And here's the next paragraph, and it's titled Nutrients on Demand. Florican founder Ed Rosenthal did not expect to help grow vegetables in space when he first began developing his award-winning fertilizer. He just saw an opportunity to improve how nutrients are delivered to plants. Although not a chemist by training, by 2002, Rosenthal had spent decades working with fertilizers and polymers at Florican, and before that at a company that manufactured polymer-based plant containers. Here is a quote from Ed Rosenthal, end quote. I wondered if I could separate each nutrient based on its relative solubility and when it was needed by the plant. Then, end quote. Then he would coat each with different polymers with different sized pores to control the rate at which water reached the nutrient. That way, he thought he could create a fertilizer that delivered exactly the right amount of each nutrient at exactly the right stage of growing. Wow, something like time-release medicine or time-release vitamins. Traditional fertilizers are often applied monthly, requiring huge amounts of fertilizer and a large workforce to apply it. But Rosenthal knew that much of the fertilizer was never actually absorbed by the plant. As he told one grower friend, and quote, I believe you're wasting more than two-thirds of your nitrogen. It's going straight into the groundwater. Florican's new stage release fertilizer would get the same results with a third of the fertilizer, and it only needed to be applied once. The product found a market, but there was much work to be done, and in 2004, as a prize for winning an engineering award, Rosenthal got some high-level help from NASA. The NASA consultants recommended a new approach. Coat the nutrients in a single impervious polymer, then treat them with a chemical to open up pores to the exact specifications required. By 2008, Florican had two patents, one for stage-release fertilizer and another for the polymer coating it was using. Soon, Florican had enough business to Soon, Florican had enough business to open a coating facility in Florida and later a second plant. Rosenthal has also sold his patents to agribusiness giant J.R. Simplot Company, which has introduced the technology across the western United States and overseas, though Florican retains a license to manufacture in 32 eastern U.S. states. Well, thank you for listening. This is Marco. You've been listening to AstroTalk. As I told you, I now have my website at www.marcosastrotalk.com, and my associate, Deepi Lali, she will have a page in it talking about the accessibility community. So look forward to that. In the next few weeks, when I have time, I'm very busy now with my work, I will start adding podcast after podcast after podcast. So the page is, or the website is divided into different pages of on different astronomy topics. And as I mentioned, my associate, Miss Deepi Lali, she has a wonderful new podcast out now. I will give it to you next time. I don't have it on me right now, but stay tuned. So this is Marco. You're listening to AstroTalk on, you have been listening to AstroTalk on CITR 101.9.